seconds. One time for the underdog. One time for the underdog. Ignition sequence start.
Let me see you put 'em up. Reach the sky, touch the stars up above. Cause it's one time for the underdog. One time for the underdog.
You're listening to the Valuetainment Podcast, where we discuss various strategies that will help you scale your business to the next level. I'm your host, Patrick Bedivit, and today I'm going to talk to you about 10 reasons why people quit on business. Look, no matter what phase of your life you're in right now, whether you're in the, you know, new exciting phases like the puppy love of a business or a relationship or whatever you're doing, you're so excited about it, or in the steady phase or momentum phase, no matter where you're at some point you're going to hit a wall. You're just going to. And when you hit a wall, it is very interesting when a person hits a wall, because initially when you hit a wall, you feel like everything's gonna collapse. You feel like everything's coming down. You feel like every single thing you are stressed out about, you're worried about, is going to collapse. It's almost like you feel it's the end of life. It's like end of the world is coming, right? And the way you behave and react when you hit the wall creates a habit in your life. And one of the worst habits, there's a lot of people that say, you know, the worst habit in their life is this, and this is the worst habit, and that's... I would tell you one of the worst habits, if not the worst habit in life, is quitting. Quitting is a terrible habit to pick up, because you're going to keep quitting in your life. You'll keep quitting in your life, and the next thing you know, every single time you hit a wall, you'll quit. So I have a system that I'm going to talk to you about today, 10 different points why people quit, and if you go through this and what you need to do for yourself. Now, I'm going through this right now. No matter what you're going through right now, the quitting phase, there's something to do to overcome it, no matter what you're going through right now. But before I even get into it, I want you to even think about it in a completely different way. Think about how old you are right now. I don't know how old you are right now, okay? I want you to go back 10 years ago. If you're 30, you were 20. What were you worried about that was keeping you up at night at 20 years old, 10 years ago? What were you worried about? What was keeping you up at night? Was it a relationship, a girlfriend, a school, a teacher, a professor, parent, argument, crisis, car payment, ticket, suspension, DUI? What was it 10 years ago? Do you even worry about that today? Was it the end of the world? No, the same thing is with business. Every single person that builds a big business at many different points of their career have to slay some dragons. You just have to slay some dragons. And the better you go within time, the easier it gets on slaying the next dragon. So now let's talk about why people quit. 10 different reasons. Number one reason why people quit, where you hit a wall and you say things like, I don't think I can do this anymore. Why am I putting myself through this, right? I can't do this anymore. Why am I putting myself through this? You'll be in a car. I did this many different times in my life. The number one reason why I believe people get into the quitting phase and why people quit is they're overwhelmed. You're simply overwhelmed. And when we're overwhelmed, in that state, that's when you either increase your identity as a leader, you stay the same, or you go lower. It's very simple. So when you're overwhelmed, what could cause overwhelming? For instance, think about it this way. One of them could be, you know, you're performing, you're building a business, and the next thing you know, one of your competitors is beating you. You feel overwhelmed. And then you notice somebody that opened a business, even they have less experience than you, but they're beating you. You still feel overwhelmed. It could be you're not performing at a level that you should be performing. You're overwhelmed. It could be somebody that's a mentor of yours or somebody that's pushing you from the top. You feel overwhelmed. It could be somebody that is challenging you. You feel overwhelmed. It could be certain financial issues you're facing. You could feel overwhelmed. It could be many. It could be you're running the business and you kind of are telling yourself, you know, honestly, I don't think I can run a business because I'm dealing with my marriage here, in my relationship, in my kids here, and my mom told me the other day I'm not being a good son, and this person over here, and that text I got from my old friend, and I'm no longer a loyal Laker fan or a Cowboys fan, and I just feel so overwhelmed, man. I don't think I can handle this. I'm overwhelmed. So it creates pressure, okay? You feel overwhelmed, pressure. Easiest thing to do is what? I quit. I can't do this anymore. And you leave. By the way, this is not just in business. This happens in sports when you're playing sports and you're a kid and you're playing for a coach that's very much pushing everybody. If you play for Bill Belichick, how do you think he is in the locker room? You really think he's kind of like, hey, good job, guys. You did phenomenal. Don't worry, we lost. Don't come to practice Monday. You think Bill Belichick is an easy coach to play for? You play for him, you're going to win championships. But it's not easy playing for a coach like that. If you're going to make a decision to play for somebody like that, they're going to push you. So imagine you're a 16-year-old kid. You're playing for this coach. And you're number six spot. You're the sixth man on a basketball team. You want to get starting time, but you're not because this other kid is taking a position away from you and the coach is pushing you. You feel pressured. You come home. You don't know what to do. You're talking to your mom. You're talking to your dad. You don't want to bring it up to your dad that you want to quit basketball. Your mom says, maybe you ought to quit. Maybe it's not. Don't worry about it, baby. It's too much pressure. Maybe your mom tells you, go do it. And then that's a habit on what you do in that moment. That's a habit on what you do in that moment. That's the overwhelmed part. The good news is, yes, you're overwhelmed. If you can get through the overwhelming phase, you're going to grow. You'll be a whole different person after that. Number two, lack of results. No matter what you do, if a person gets lack of results, and a lack of results is purely a reflection of lack of activity. Lack of results is not going to happen accidentally. Let me explain to you what I mean by this. Let's just say you give me somebody that's never played basketball ever in their lives. They've never played basketball. You may be watching this saying, honestly, Pat, I can't stand it when you use basketball analogies on Valuetainment because I don't follow basketball. No problem. I want you, okay? You've never played basketball before. You never shot a single shot in basketball in your life before. I bring you in, okay? You're 20 years old. And you and I, our goal is for you to make 10 shots from the free throw line, okay? If you have to make 10 shots from the free throw line, what are the chances of you making 10 shots from the free throw line if I only give you 10 options? 10 chances. What are the chances? Can we say zero? Because you've never played basketball before. So you're going to shoot an air ball, you're going to shoot it over, you're going to shoot, and all, maybe you get lucky and you make one. You've never shot basketball before. But here's the second equation. What if I tell you have unlimited amount of shots you take? You think you'll eventually make 10 shots? Yes. See, lack of results, which is the shots to make, is a reflection of lack of activity, which if you only take shots and you miss, of course it's not going to work. An entrepreneur, a businessman, you need to take so much activity to create results because you're an amateur. You're not an expert yet. And so the formula of capitalism, guys, I will tell you one thing about capitalism and sales. People hate it when I say this. It's 100% proven where anybody can make it. Anybody can make it. Anybody can make it in the world of sales and capitalism because it's purely a mathematical formula. Simple as that. It's purely a mathematical formula. But when somebody doesn't get results because of their activity, then they quit. And they think it's the industry. You know what? It didn't work. Real estate didn't work out for me. How come it has for hundreds of thousands of people? You know, this and it didn't work out for me. That didn't work out for me. No, you're simply creating a habit of quitting. Point number three. Point number three is self-sabotage. Self-sabotage, my gosh, that's a dangerous one because self-sabotage happens when you're all by yourself and nobody's around you. So you're in the car, you're going home, you're by yourself, you're telling yourself things, you're feeding yourself things, and then you start believing it. And so one of the things that you will realize is, you know, the same people, the world has roughly 7.2 billion people living in it today. 7.2 billion people living in it today. Roughly 400 million are entrepreneurs out of the 7.2 billion. Only 400 million are entrepreneurs. How many do you think quit, but they tried entrepreneurship at some point? Think about that. 7.2 billion, 400 million. How many quit? So how many, why do you think those people quit? Because at some point they convince themselves that they can't do it. At some point they listen to themselves that they can't do it. And the other guy who makes it, he listened to himself and made himself believe that he can do it when he was alone and nobody was around. Self-sabotage is when you're in your car by yourself. Self-sabotage is when you're in your office by yourself. Self-sabotage is when it's at night, everybody's asleep, you're feeding yourself in bed saying, my gosh, I can't do it. Self-sabotage happens when you're all alone by yourself. And here's the good news about self-sabotage. You ready for the good news on self-sabotage? The same effort that it takes to sell yourself that you can't do something, it's the same exact effort it takes to sell yourself that you can't do it. It's just you're a great salesman. You're just selling this product. Just start selling this product. This product says you can do it. This product says you can do it. This is an easier product to sell. It's the same effort. So start self-sabotaging yourself and tell yourself, I can do it. And look what happened. Mark my word. When I got started as a brand spanking new entrepreneur, they told me put a list of affirmations, things you read to yourself every day. I had it everywhere. One time a mentor of mine came to my house, and I'll never forget this. He came to my house, and he was taking a shower because this was a good friend of mine. And next thing you know, he's in there for an hour. I'm concerned, why are you in there for an hour? He comes out, he's screaming because he's reading all of my affirmations, and he's fired up, lit up. Man, I feel so good. I said, I read that every single day. Man, I feel so good right now. I said, I read it every day. I didn't believe in myself. I was a guy that gave up on every single thing. Let me tell you one thing about this cat here. My dad till today has a trophy on his desk, okay, in his house. It's the only trophy his son ever got, okay? This 6'4", 240 body frame only got one trophy in sports in his life. You know what the trophy was? We lost to a team by 100 points when I was 14 years old. 100 points we lost. And we got a trophy for losing 100. You would say at least stop the game after 50 points. These kids put them through their, you know, their 100-point trophy. He still got it. So I'm not coming from a background of I was a all-star pitcher and a baseball and basketball starting lineup. Far from it. I never played organized sports in my life. Never played organized sports in my life, ever. But self-sabotage, you got to learn the art of going to the next side. Next, number four, problem magnet. Some people are problem magnets. You know, I call it crap magnet, if you want to call it. They just tend to attract crap in their lives. You know, and one of the reasons why people attract crap in their lives, and this is going to be strange when you hear this, and it's going to be tough for some people to hear this. One of the reasons why people attract crap in their lives is because they want to. And I'll tell you why they want to. Because if you have crap in your life, you have an out why you didn't make it. So you have to attract crap because it's like, well, I didn't make it because my family was going through this. Well, I didn't make it because, you know, my car broke down. Well, I didn't make it because my teacher just, well, I didn't make it because I had a kid and I was a single father. Well, I didn't make it because my marriage didn't work. Well, I didn't make it because I got a DUI. Well, I didn't make it because my car broke down. No, you kind of want those things to happen to you so you can advertise it and say, that's why I didn't make it. Here's the kicker. Those same people that make it, they also had those things happen to them as well. They just don't advertise it. They don't advertise it because the more you advertise it, the more you attract crap. The less you advertise it, the less you're attracting crap. Think about if a girl goes out there and she's at a bar and she advertises and says, oh, you guys won't understand what just happened. My boyfriend just cheated on me and he broke up with me and I hate him so much. She's a target. Here are a bunch of single drunk men that are saying target. Let me take advantage of this opportunity. No, it's a target. Somebody goes out there and says, oh, you know, I just came out of the casino and you go to a bar late at night and you go to a casino and you go to a bar and you say, oh, you won't believe what just happened. You know, what happened? I just went to the casino. I won $20,000 cash, man. I got in my pocket right now, $20,000 cash. What are you potentially attracting? Bunch of people that can jump you outside and take you 20 grand from. You're attracting crap because you're advertising to attract crap. If you go out there and keep talking about my life sucks, this happened to me, that happened to me, you're telling the world, please send more crap my way. Please send more crap my way. And eventually, you quit. Boom. Number five, bad decisions. Life is about decisions, choices. Quitting is also about bad decisions. Bad decisions could be what? Somebody keeps telling you you can't build a business or you shouldn't be in a certain thing you're doing or this is just not for you, you're not smart enough for it, and you keep going back and being around this person. And you don't know it. Just like you never know who you got a flu from or cold from, you could have shook someone's hand who went like this and they had a flu and they gave it to you. You will never be able to pinpoint where you got that flu from. It's the same exact thing when you sit down next to somebody and they tell you, what are you doing business, man? You can't build a business. You don't even know it. You just got the flu. That flu is called, you're about to quit. That's what bad decisions are. That's a bad decision. Bad decision is you should have stayed at the office on Friday night when you didn't hit your numbers and you wanted to go to the nightclub. That's a bad decision. Why going to the nightclub? For what? You don't have 100 grand in the bank yet. You haven't made your millions yet. For what go to the bank club? Nightclub. For what? Yo, you're going over here and you know, I really don't feel good today. You should go read or develop or do something or study, immerse yourself in your industry. You go and hang out and go shoot pool. For what? Bad decisions. We can't control bad decisions. You control bad decisions because you make the decisions. Number six, procrastination. Procrastination gets so many people where it's, we'll do it later, we'll get it done later, not right now, maybe later, maybe this, maybe that's a terrible, terrible habit. It's just as bad as quitting because typically quitting is a byproduct of somebody that constantly procrastinates and then all of a sudden they start quitting everything. So procrastination hurts a lot of people. Number seven is an interesting one that I want to dive into, and that's being a loner. Being a loner hurts a lot of people in business because, look, let me just put it to you this way. You know, if you're married and you're going through issues when you're married, the worst thing you could do is not have somebody else that you can have a conversation with that tells you, typically someone that's ahead of you in marriage. So if you've been married 3 years, may not be a bad idea to talk to somebody that's been married for 20 years and they got, you know, 3 kids and, you know, whatever. So they're going to tell you, oh, Bob, it's normal what you're going through. Here's what happened to my wife and I. Here's what we went through and it's fine. Oh, man, so I'm not by myself. If you're a loner, you think you're the only one that's going through this problem. So you, oh, my gosh, it's only me because you're a loner. You're afraid. You're a loner. Now, you got to have some people around that are similar level at you, if not higher, to tell you I've been there before. Here's what you're going through. So in the world of business, you know, you hit a certain wall and you don't know how to get through it and you're not talking to the right person. And you say, man, I'm the only person that's going through this. I must be horrible at what I'm doing in this business. I'm an underachiever. There's no way in the world I'm going to make it in life. And pop, pop, pop. Nope, you're simply a loner. It's not true. You're a loner. You're being by yourself. You're not around other people that are going to kick your butt a little bit or lift you up when you need it. Loner. It's a difficulty. Being a loner doesn't help you. Now, keep this in mind. What do I mean by being a loner? Sometimes a contradiction to that is, well, Pat, I don't really get it because aren't you supposed to be a loner when you become an entrepreneur? You're all by yourself and it's, you know, the you're alone at the top and all this. You know that whole saying about you're alone at the top? It's a lie. What, you're alone at the top? Are you kidding me? Who's alone at the top? How many million-dollar homes are there in America? 2? How many million-dollar homes are there in the world? 3? Come on, man. There are millions of million-dollar homes. There's a million people at the top. That's not alone. You just got to find them. No, it's a lonely thing at the top. It's not. Now, there's times where you're in your car by yourself. On the way to the top, maybe you feel like lonely at times. Sure. Sure you do. But you can still find some people that are at a similar position as you, if not higher, that can lift you up. Number 8, self-doubt. Self-doubt, man. The word doubt, dwell. When we sit there and dwell on a problem, then we doubt ourselves. You know, these D words are very, very dangerous emotions with dwelling and doubting. And again, self-doubt comes lack of activity, and lack of activity produces no results. Then you question your abilities. Then you say, I don't know if I can really do this. And why am I putting myself through this? And then you quit. So you got to know when you're going through. One of the things about when you have in doubt or you're dwelling, the best thing you can do is the following thing. When it's happening, you got to catch it. Oh, I'm dwelling. I'm doubting. Oh, whoa, stop. You're not winning. You're not winning. Literally, I would speak to myself. I'm not buying this. My dad could tell you. My dad just flew in town to visit, spend some time with us for Thanksgiving. My dad will tell you. We'd be at family gatherings and somebody would say something that's their truth. And I would say, you know what? I'm not buying that. That's your mindset you can buy. I'm not buying that. And my dad would say, Pat, why do you say that? I said, I'm not buying that mindset. I'm not going to allow my brain to buy that. There's no way in the world I'm buying that. It's for sale. The world's going to buy it because it's for sale. Everybody wants to buy things for sale. I want to pay full price. That's what I want to buy. I'm not buying that. Okay, Pat. Okay, you're not. I'm not buying that. I'm not buying that. All women are like this. I'm not buying that. All men are like this. I'm not buying that. All entrepreneurs are like this. I'm not buying that. I'm not buying that. Today in the political world, what is it? All Republicans are like this. All Democrats are like this. All blacks, all Hispanics, all Muslims. I'm not buying that. I'm not buying that. So you got to be able to be aware when you're going into the self-doubt mode and you say, nobody in my family's ever make it. I'm not buying that. I'm going to make it. You don't understand. I don't have a degree. I'm not buying that. I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. So you got to identify it, stop it, say, I'm not buying that. I'm not buying something for sale. Just say it with me. Repeat it with me. I'm not buying that. Say it out loud, baby. I'm not buying that. Don't buy it. It's on sale. Pay full price. It's the best products you'll ever buy when you pay full price. Next, number 9. Selective hearing is very problematic if you listen to the wrong thing. Let me tell you what selective hearing is. Selective hearing is the following. I could have a conversation when you're down and out and you're overwhelmed and you want to quit. Everything you look for signs to what? To quit. Selective hearing. So you'll drive in a car and a sign will say, too much pressure in your life. Maybe you ought to come and work at Kaiser Permanente and $49,000 salary and benefits and all this stuff. You're like, that's a sign because I was thinking about health insurance. It's a sign God's given me for me to quit. No. Selective hearing is what it's called. That's simply what it is. Because right across the street, there was a sign that said you can have all your dreams, or you didn't look at it. Because you saw it and you went, nope, that's not true. I'm looking over here. Selective hearing. Selective hearing is you can talk to somebody and they talk to you and they challenge you. and they re-remind you of things you've done where you could go out there and go win, and they tell you those two areas that you need to improve. Selective hearing says, did you hear what he said on the conference call? He told me those two things I need to improve. What he's trying to say is I'm not good. This is why I can't do it. No, he told you already. Selective hearing, you chose to listen to this. Selective hearing. You got to choose what you choose to listen to. That's selective hearing. Number 10, last one, is who's in your ear? Let me tell you why who's in your ear. We get thousands and thousands of comments every day on Valuetainment. And people say, I watch this religiously. I was at the life insurance convention. It's called NALBA. Every single year, where all these insurance companies get to get any of the biggest insurance companies in the world. I was there for 2 days. These are every year when you do your strong negotiations. This year's was epic because it was a completely different story. So I'm there, several guys constantly, hey, Pat. One guy comes who's a very, very successful, $100 million a year type of guy. He says, I will never miss an episode on Valuetainment, never. He said, you're the first thing I start my day off with. I watch every single episode on Valuetainment. Every single episode on Valuetainment. That's great. But even a Valuetainment episode can only be 30 minutes long. You got to figure out a way to find out who's feeding your ear, who's feeding you. So who's feeding you? Who's in your ear? Who's in your ear? Do you control who's in your ear? Who has influence over you? Who has influence over you? Who's telling you what to do? Who? Is it people that are ahead? Is it people that are feeding you fear? The most important appointment of the day is your last appointment of the day. You know who the last appointment of the day is? I did an episode once. If you haven't watched it, you gotta watch it. It's called the most important appointment of an entrepreneur. Let's put a thumbnail of it, Dennis, so they can see it. And we'll put a link somewhere as well, Rebecca, so they can see it as well. It's the most important appointment of an entrepreneur. It's called the last appointment of the day. You know what it is? It's the last person you talk to when you go to sleep. You know who's the last person you talk to before you go to sleep? Whoever that person is. To you, maybe your girlfriend, your boyfriend, mom, dad, brother, sister, wife, husband. Whoever the last person you talk to before you go to sleep, whatever they feed your ear, that's how you're going to go to sleep, dreaming or having nightmares about it. So if I go to sleep and my spouse says, babe, this is scary, babe. I see you being so stressed. I see gray hair. I'm seeing this. Fear, fear, fear. I go to sleep with fear. I wake up with fear. This is what I want to do. But if I go to sleep with my last appointment of the day and the person says, babe, I know it's tough, babe, but I don't know why, babe. I just believe in you, babe. Honey, I don't know what it is. I just believe in you. Son, I just believe in you. You know, brother, I believe in you. Bro, I believe in you. Sister, I believe in you. Girlfriend, I believe in you. I believe in you. There's only two people in the world you need to believe in you. One is yourself and one is just another person. I don't care who it is. Just another person. If you got these two people, you can take over the world if you wanted to. So you gotta make sure you talk to somebody that believes in you. And you gotta make sure you believe in yourself. Because if you don't do those two things, you're facing this right here and quitting as an entrepreneur. You don't wanna do that. So with that being said, this is an episode that I've been very excited about. By the way, this year, this board I'm holding on to was given to me as a gift. Drapella Woodworks. I met him at Texas A&M. Young kid as an entrepreneur who's doing a great job out there this past week when I was out there. But if you got any questions about today's episode, comment on the bottom on quitting. Maybe you have some other thing that you want to put down there as well. I will tell you, there's a lot of people that are going through a lot of difficulties right now in America, especially with the challenges we're facing in America politically. Some people are thinking about quitting their life, let alone business, is what I'm talking about. But there are a lot of people that just think that's the end of life. So share this message with a handful of people. You'd be amazed by the response you're going to get from some people and how grateful they'll be. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And by the way, if you haven't already subscribed to Valuetainment on iTunes, please do so. Give us a 5-star. Write a review if you haven't already. And if you have any questions for me that you may have, you can always find me on Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. Just search my name, Patrick Bit-David. And I actually do respond back when you snap me or send me a message on Instagram. With that being said, have a great day today. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.